Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. Today's episode of the podcast is another of the Lightning Build series, where I bring amazing guests on to try to build an EDH deck concept from scratch without knowing their commander ahead of time. So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce today's guest, Alex, also known as It's Demonic. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, man. It's really good to be here. I'm very excited about this. A little nervous, but mostly excited.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. So again, for the listeners, if you haven't had an opportunity to listen to one of these Lightning Build series before, effectively, I am going to give Alex a random commander from throughout Magic's history to try to build a conceptual deck around. And again, I have a curated list of different commanders, again, from throughout Magic's history, that I believe do not necessarily create overly linear decks. So again, we're not looking for something like Marm the Nurture or something with obvious tribal payoffs here, because I'm trying to make sure that my guests have an opportunity to really put some of their own spin on a certain card, build the deck the way they want to. So I would like to introduce today's commander, Varagoth Bloodsky Sire. Now, Varagoth is a 2/3 demon rogue costing 2 and a black and has Death Touch, as well as the very interesting call time ability Boast. So whenever Varagoth attacks, you can pay 1 and a black, and target player searches their library for a card, then shuffles their library and puts that card on top of it. All right, Alex, take it away.
All right, so let's pull up. Make sure I'm looking at the right. Okay, so this is actually really cool. This is one of the newer cards, obviously, from Kaldheim. I have it featured in a couple decks, but not as a general, so this is cool. And I like the rogue synergies as well here.
And plus it's just a tutor on a stick, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. So right off the bat, I am drawn to Death Touch. I try to incorporate a lot of Death Touch in my decks, so this is cool. Boast is really cool. It's something that I am trying to play with more, but obviously presents a couple challenges because you have to be swinging. So if you're not really set up to get something through, you know, obviously, especially with Varagoth being the general here, we run the risk of just swinging him into an obvious death wall. So right off the bat, I'm thinking about evasion and things that will help him get through. So a couple of my, I think immediately what I'm going to think about is Whisper Soul Cloak. Just classic, easy to pop out, gets him through. Kind of skips some of the classic black adds, obviously, mana rocks, all that kind of stuff. Let's see here. Yeah, I want to be able to get him through. We obviously need to have good stuff in there that we're searching for. So I'm kind of thinking that the things that I'm going to want to search for are, I think in the ramp side, get out of the way early. Something like Crypt Ghast in the beginning does a really good job of helping us ramp up to the bigger stuff, and having a nice army that we can used to support Varagoth. I'm definitely going to go for some of the big demons that I enjoy playing with. Some of the ones that I think could help just sort of close out our opponents. So the first one that comes to mind for me would be Obnixilus Unshackled. Obviously in Commander, there is a ton of library searching. So not necessarily that we prevent anybody from searching, but with Obnixilus, whenever an opponent searches their library, they stack a creature and I think it costs them 10 life. And then he grows every time a creature dies, which is awesome. Because, I mean, it's not limited to my side. It's everybody. And with our commander having Death Touch, and we'll include a couple little kind of chomp blockers that that we definitely have ways to get back out in black. So, like, a Typhoid Rats is a classic example of just a little 1/1 with Death Touch to kind of help prevent. Obviously, our commander swinging in with Death Touch as well will be really nice, because people are much less likely to block. Something that can give, on the equipment side, something that can give our commander first strike would be obviously awesome. Works very well with Death Touch. Then we're going to be obviously getting death triggers with something like Obnixilus. Yeah, I want to lean into the death trigger synergies here as well. So, Harvester of Souls is another really good one. I believe it's a 5/5 demon with death touch, and we get card draw whenever non-token creatures die. So the more we can kind of stack up ways to capitalize on creatures dying, the better. Let's see. One of my all-time favorite demons, Reaper of the Abyss. I'm trying not to just turn this into demon tribal. So I
Hey,
really
it's all
want
right if you want to. I mean, it's really
to.
up to you, man.
A couple of those demons, they just work so well together. So I'm thinking like Reaper of the Abyss is one of my favorites. And, at the end step, we get to destroy a non-demon if a creature died this turn. Something like that's really good. Think about some other like rogue synergies. Nighthawk Scavenger is kind of one of the newer ones that I've been playing with a lot. Big fan, cheap, easy to get out, allows it to grow. So, I mean, if you get it out early, you have, it only costs three, so it can come out in the first couple turns, but the capacity for it to grow, makes it more relevant in mid game and long game. I definitely want to include. So one of my signature, like I have in every single deck that I play to the best of my ability, and black is difficult but not impossible, are fog effects. So of course we have darkness in black, and just the ability to end combat damage. You can use it. I mean, I rarely use it this way, but if I'm swinging into something and it just really doesn't go the way that I want it to, we can prevent the damage and, protect creatures that way. Or, of course, you can save your life from a huge swing coming in. And people do not expect to see fogs when you're playing mono black. I know it always catches people off guard, even though I play it all the time. So that would definitely be a good one for me to tutor up to, because I like to kind of sit on that. It's a good one to have in the hand. Obviously, lots of removal. My favorite thing about specifically black removal, especially when we're talking about some synergies too with some of those other demons that I was talking about. I like to go for the forcing someone to sacrifice as removal. We get around indestructible, get around hexproof, you get around all kinds of, I mean, protection, all that kind of stuff. It's sacrifice is very, very powerful. And of course, we can kind of fit in some more sacrifice synergies. So I'm trying to think here. So Plague Crafter would be a great one. That's a classic. Just on ETB, each player sacks a creature. Of course, I, as the player of Plaguecrafter, have the option to just sack Plaguecrafter. Kind of do a. I don't like to do a ton of graveyard recursion if I'm going for more of the. I guess this would be sort of a power-based deck where I'm trying to just go for damage. I'm trying to go for removing my creature or removing my opponent's creatures rather. So I'm probably not going to do a ton of graveyard recursion. I mean, some stuff like reanimation. Yeah, so I can kind of skip. See what are some of my other classics would be. Entomb is a great tutor, although I don't know that I would really use that just because the goal here is, I'm not running like a graveyard use strategy, I think. So probably skip stuff like that. I'd go for more. I mean, Murder's a classic. Fatal Push is a classic. I like Fatal Push, a little bit more versatile, can come out sooner. Let's see. I like to try to also include, even just for flavor, just old cards in general. So try to think of like things that people don't really expect to see. What's one that I just threw into something? So Bubbling Muck can just, if you're playing against someone who is, control heavy, you can drop out this little card, only costs one, and until the end of the turn, whenever somebody taps a swamp for mana, you get an additional one. So it's kind of like a more unique bit of ramp, and that's always good to have. I think that leaning into, okay, so thinking about things that I specifically want to be grabbing with the Boast. And we can kind of go into like a win condition idea here. If you're winning in mono black, and I'm not just doing damage, because obviously if we can make our commander evasive, we can just kind of go for some classic buff spells and just sort of make it almost Voltron-y. I mean, so there's I have a couple cards sitting right here. Let me kind of just shuffle through. Maybe you know the names off the top of your head. Basically, there's a whole series of black spells that are initially very cheap and can be basically expensive as you want. Either an enchantment with an X cost activation or a sorcery with a one black and X, and just target creature gets plus X plus zero until end of turn.
So pretty much kind of your hatred style effects there,
Exactly, yeah.
temporary or permanent buffs. There's also a whole bunch of mono black like commons that give your creature plus one until end of turn, things like that. Also make your creature
Exactly.
indestructible, yeah.
Exactly. So leaning into a couple options like that, and especially since we'll have the ability to tutor, we don't need to really run as many of them. So that's when the ramp will be important. The ability to then tutor for a couple of those will be important. So if I'm running things like Nurkana Relevant, let's see the of course classic. Oh, I guess another here I'm shuffling through a little pile of cards on my desk here. Exsanguinate is a classic love. So with the combination of having ramp options and then something like this where you can just drain someone of a massive amount of life really quickly. If we're not able to go through just piling on commander damage, I think with this and the commander having death touch and running some evasion, I think I'm really going to be leaning heavily into sort of a Voltron theme with a few like supporting demon characters. I really like another great demon also from Kaldheim is Dream Devourer, which allows you to foretell anything. So a lot of these really great black kind of surprise spells, especially the grow ones, are sorceries. So us having the ability to foretell them and then instant speed them later is awesome. If you don't want to run yes, Bedalkanor, yeah. So if you don't,
Or any of those things that provide you instant speed
right,
ability.
yeah. Yeah, a bunch of different ways that you can do that. But since so many of them are sorceries, Dream Devourer can be really, really good for that. And yeah, I was thinking Nurkana could buff other creatures, but Nurkana just buffs herself. Not a bad option. And of course the ramp effect of Nurkana is also amazing. Just like Cryptghast, but a little bit more upside. Let's see. Yeah, I don't really want to put in too many demons. Rather kind of then stick to some so we'll have obviously our mana rocks. So I like to run an equipment, a classic equipment in this case would be cranial plating. And of course, the ability to instant speed attach it or swap from creature to creature. If someone's getting through, you can hop that over real quick and get a nice little extra bit of damage. Let's see, what else? What else? What else? Yeah, so we talked about some removal, specifically focusing on sacrifice. I don't like to run a ton of removal. I always get frustrated when I'm running against someone who's just doing tons of removal. So since we're going to have all of the death touch, I don't think that's quite as important. That's definitely a deterrent from people attacking. I think I would probably run Torment of Hailfire just because you kind of get in a pinch and you're running, that's another X spell. So we have the ramp abilities.
It's the classic
We can,
finisher.
of course, yeah. It's kind of a cop out. Like I feel like a little bit of a cop out. That's kind of a boring way to win. It's fun, don't get me wrong, but it's basically expected. Someone sees mono black, they're just waiting for the hammer that is Torment of Hailfire to drop. I guess another. I see. I don't want to get too like kind of in the weeds because of course we could run discard type synergies, but I don't really see myself doing that for this deck specifically. Yeah, let's see. I really, really enjoy Commander's Plate and it's awesome in monocolor decks, especially with black.
It's another way to get your commander through to get that extra bit, those extra bits of chip damage. Early game,
Exactly.
late game, doesn't matter. Also gives you a stat boost, I think.
Yes, yeah, plus three, and then protection from everything, and of course a discounted price to equip it to a commander specifically, and that's basically the like you said, just it adds the best version of evasion with protection. So I mean something like a Cobbled Wings to give flying, and then like I said the first strike, so it's just really unappealing to block our commander here. That's probably where I'm gonna put most of my efforts, just because the boast thing, it reads really, really well, but in practice it can be tricky to get a lot of activations off of it, especially like I said with the requirement that you are swinging.
Would you consider running something like Strionic Resonator here, or something to
I
or
yes,
the bracers? Sorry.
No, the resonator for sure. And there was
See, is that activated or is that triggered? I'm trying to remember.
so
The other one's Rings of Brightheart. I can never remember which one, but that one.
so Strionic Resonator, and then that actually fits in with was it Lithiform Engine?
Yeah, I think so.
Which and Lithiform gives you more options. I think Strionic Resonator is exclusively triggered abilities. I have a copy sitting somewhere, but I'm pretty sure it's a pretty low mana cost. So pay one or two, tap it, and then copy a triggered ability that you control.
This is activated. I think you could also run again Rings of Brightheart, which would copy the bow stability.
Yeah. And then like I said, that having Lithiform Engine out there also could be really nice, because I think that's a static. It gives you the ability to copy an activated or a triggered ability, so
Okay. Yeah.
that would allow us to do that. And I believe, actually, I'm gonna look. I'm pretty sure it's actually the same activation cost as Strionic Resonator, just for the triggered ability, except it gives you the bonus of also being able to do activated. And of course, we have spell copy and we have permanent copy, so it's just like you're dropping out some of those big demons, and it's cr I mean, two of some of those bigger demons out there can just be really nasty really fast. And then we have a ton of different. I mean, equipment is. I whenever I play mono black, I have a ton of artifacts always. So I mean, usually like a sacrifice outlet is really good, because you should just, be expecting removal. And I like having a sac outlet on the board so that I can protect my creatures from exile by being able to just instant speed toss them in the graveyard. So something like Phyrexian Altar. Of course, that one is a little bit on the pricey side, but there's the other classic altar that allows you to mill your Ashnod's altar. No,
Altar of
Ashnod's altar
Dementia.
gives you. Yes, thank you. Altar of Dementia for milling, and then Ashnod's altar is a little bit cheaper.
Giving you that sweet, sweet double colorless mana for each sacrifice creature.
Which of course, the colored mana from Phyrexian Altar is good, but if we're playing a lot of black, we have a lot of classic black ramp, like with Cryptghast and with Nurkana. I would probably say that the Ashnod's Altar sacrifice for two colorless would almost be better, just in that situation. Let's see. Classic black protection. I run Kaya's Ghostform in basically everything, just as a way to kind of protect the commander. Something that gives us sacrifice fodder. Bitter Blossom is something that's pretty cool, and plus you get a little bit of rogue synergy there. So I'm trying to think. I'm not really leaning too much into the rogue thing specifically here. There's just too much other fun black stuff. The other place that I typically get a lot of value are enchantments. Enchantments are notoriously annoying to remove. People don't typically run a ton of enchantment hate. So running something like Court of Ambition is a cool new one, also from Legends, introducing Monarch. And then, I mean, you're burning life. Even on the plus side, if you're not the Monarch, you're still burning three life and they're discarding a card. And it just gets ridiculous if you're the Monarch. And with how much evasion we're doing, I think it's pretty likely that we'll be able to consistently hold on to the Monarch title. Greed is a pretty cool old enchantment. Just give us some card draw. And so in the event that we can't swing through with our general and get that boast ability to trigger, I would definitely want to run some good card draw, and there's a bunch of options. I mean, there's of course Vilas gives us a tremendous amount of card draw. We said Greed, anything that's given us, there's some good land options too. War Room is a really, really good one for monocolor decks, of course, because you're only having to pay the one life, since we are monocolored, to draw a
So
card.
you've got Arch of Orozca, again, pay five, tap it, draw a card. You're going to have enough mana to be able to activate that one fairly easily by turn five,
Yeah,
six.
absolutely. I think where I'm at. So, kind of to summarize where I've gotten up to now, we have like our classic mana rocks and all that kind of stuff, which will give us some artifacts, which will kind of pump up things like Cranial Plating. A couple big demons classically like to help kind of shut out the opponent. So, Obnixilis to shut down the whole library thing. Stuff like Runescarred Demon too can give us some more tutor ability if we can't be swinging with our commander. I really do like Dream Devourer, especially with kind of the sneak attack idea. Just Black's limit would be just how many sorceries there are. You know, we got some really neat demons with Kaldheim. It was really cool to see. Of course, Burning Rune Demon also gives us just even more tutor. I mean, Indulgent Tormentor for even more card draw. They're kind of expensive, so I wouldn't really want to run a ton of them unless I was really focused on just demons, though. And then I can't believe I forgot this. I actually have a deck with Erebos at the helm, but Erebos is an awesome, just really hard to deal with thing that can just sit out there, really shut down your opponents, and just give you really easily accessed card draw. I think that's pretty much kind of where I would be really leaning. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about Black is that there's a ton of options. It's dirty, like it's hard to deal with notoriously, and typically then your opponent's dealing with it ends up kind of helping you, because I mean, grand scheme, you know, like what are people doing to deal with you? They are killing stuff. And of course we have tons of ways that we can capitalize on our stuff dying. I think that's pretty much kind of the direction I would go. This is really similar to a demon tribal deck that I have. That's the one with Erebos running. Opposition Agent, of course, is super classic, and Opposition Agent in tandem with Obnix List is just mean, honestly. That's almost at the point where I'm starting to feel bad.
I was gonna say about that one. Adding some salt in the wounds, but you know that's kind of the demon thing, so it's on theme, sure. I guess.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, honestly, I struggle with this, like in game. Sometimes I'll be set up with just a way to absolutely ruin someone's game, and I just don't like have it in me to pull it out, because you know, I don't like games that someone is prohibited from playing. If you have to pay a steep tax for something, that's one thing. But if I'm controlling the searches and also punishing you for it, like you're just ultimately not really going to be playing, and that's a bummer. Looking at the other thing that I do love to include in Black, just because there's so many great options, would be a mechanic for some life gain. Especially if we're able to shut out our opponents from gaining life with Erebos. I mean, running something like Gary, of course, I should say Great Merchant of Asphodel is a classic. And with some of the big demons that we have out there, I mean, we're going to have Devotion on the board. Whip of Erebos, obviously, the paired equipment with Erebos, just giving lifelink. I'm trying to think, there's an equipment, maybe you know the name of this, there's an equipment where you can tap the creature, and I believe it just deals one damage to a player or a creature. And so putting that on something like our commander with the death touch is just basically a tap to remove, which is amazing. Of course, now that I'm saying it out loud, that might not be ideal. Maybe on some of our other death touchers, just because if we're tapping our commander, we're obviously not able to swing, and that kind of defeats the whole purpose. So I feel like I want to throw in maybe last couple thoughts, a couple more things that are just bombastic that we can go search for. So obviously Torment of Hailfire we talked about. Massacre Worm is a hilarious thing to tutor out. It's just, I think the life loss trigger on Massacre Worm stays too. I don't think it's just like until the end of turn.
It is a permanent static effect as long as Massacre Worm stays on the battlefield.
You get that potential to just destroy a token board. And then also just burn a ton of life. You know, a card that I love, that I'm desperate to find like a good way to include, is Massacre Girl. Mm-hmm. So along with the worm, I don't remember exactly how Massacre Girl's text goes, but something along the lines of when she enters, there's -1/-1 goes on everything, I think. And then I think when things die, they just keep minusing. So like as stuff dies, more -1/-1s until end of turn. They're not counters, of course, but so I feel like something like that could kind of go well, because as she's sitting out there and we're able to kind of ping down our opponent's creatures with our little death touchers and stuff, we're obviously just going to get more and more value. Of course, we have to be careful there because that includes our commander. That's why she's tricky to use, unless she was the general. So maybe I wouldn't include that. Maybe that doesn't really fit. I don't know, man. I think that pretty much wraps it up. I mean, you hit like the pillars of a classic mono black deck. There's the ramp, the devotion build, removal, and just, you know, making it so that no one gets to keep creatures out. I'm going to want to be running a few of those classics like we talked about to go and be searching for. So, I mean, there's so many ways that you can, like, tutor up just, you know, an easy win. Like, Bolas's Citadel is something that I would love to be able to tutor out and just kind of have out there. There's got to be some more just, like, epic. I mean, Necropotence.
Oh, yeah. All the classic mono black, pay life, draw cards, top deck manipulation stuff, yeah.
I mean, Phyrexian Arena. I guess I would probably say that Phyrexian Reclamation would be another really good one. I love that card. That way we can actually be pulling a few things out of the graveyard. I think it's limited to creatures, but
it is.
If we're able to kind of keep recirculating our Death Touch blocking armies, and of course, if you are the beautiful part about Phyrexian Reclamation and Mono Black deck is that if your commander is dying, just let him go to the graveyard. Mm-hmm. And keep recycling back to your hand. Avoid the commander tax.
Yep. All you have to pay is 2 life and a single black.
And of course, you know, you could include the combo piece. I'm typically not a combo player just because I sort of like Torment of Hailfire. I kind of feel like it's a cop out when I, you know, if you were to run basically the Exquisite Blood and Sanguine Bond combo, which is, you know, obviously it's pretty hard to beat that. Once it comes out, that's pretty much it. Especially if you have a way to ping. I don't even really like running stuff like Dictative Erebos, but it would obviously be a classic add. Pretty sure it has Flash too, doesn't it?
Dictative Erebos doesn't. There's another card that does have Flash, does something similar. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. You might be right. It might have it. I don't remember.
I could have sworn it had Flash, but I mean, either way, just especially then if we have a sac outlet like one of the Altars that we talked about. I mean, that's just that's just an absolutely gross engine to get running. I didn't really mention any Planeswalkers, but of course we have a couple good options. I mean, my classic is the Dreadhorde, Liliana Dreadhorde General. Mm-hmm. Just for the card draw, and you're giving yourself sacrifice fodder. Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much how I do it. I would fill out the rest of the deck with some Death Touchy Chump Blockers. You could probably then find, you know, there's room to add in, like, your couple favorite other demons. I mean, there's so many. Basically every deck that I build in mono black, I throw in one or two.
Some equipment, you know, redundancy there. Maybe card draw, read the bones type cards. You know, just
right, exactly. Yes, some top deck stacking. You know, whether that's just there's a lot of good scry options in black. Like you just said, with does read the bones let you scry and then draw, or is it just draw?
Yes, read the bones does. Sign and blood does not. You can also run rack if you want to, I suppose.
Right, yeah.
Because then you can put the cards that you actually, or the cards you just boasted for off Varagoth straight into your hand.
Right. That's a great point. I didn't even think about it that way. I'm sitting here for half this conversation thinking that Varagoth is boasting into our hand, but you are absolutely right.
It's unfortunately the vampiric tutor of the tutor family here.
Yeah, which I mean, still, if you're able to just repeat it, you know, I cannot complain at all.
No, I mean, it's still a very powerful effect, especially for two. Again, though, you just have to challenge, and that's the thing with Varagoth is you just have to attack, and you can only pay for this once. But you know, the fact they're able to repeatedly tutor on a creature that's a 2/3 death touch is not to be overestimated, honestly.
Yeah, and like we said, being able to run Lithiform Engine and double up on that triggered ability doubler is amazing. Yeah, I mean, all you really need then is a couple bodies to kind of fill out the spot. I love running Crick. Just allows you to put even more out with the ability to turn basically every black in a cost into Phyrexian mana, and of course growing him. I totally forget my single favorite black removal spell is Tragic Slip. I love the picture. I love I mean, gets around indestructible, all that kind of stuff. And we're definitely going to routinely be able to play it for the minus 13. Let's see what else. I mean, I don't know. I would say that's pretty much where I would leave it, I think.
All right. Sounds good. So, this just sounds like a very terrifying black deck. Again, it includes a lot of demons. That's definitely your trademark there. And brings a lot of interesting Voltron aspects. You do bring a lot of sacrifice, discard, well, not really discard, but sacrifice outlets, things like that, as well as ways to keep your opponents off your tail. You know, just, it sounds like a really solid deck, especially when you add Varagoth's ability build to effectively tutor for things when you need to.
And I think that, so this is my weakness when I build any deck. I definitely am guilty of this. It's been this way for years. I don't think I'll ever get over it. But when I'm building, since we all know there are so many just epic cards and there's so many directions that you can take a deck, I end up trying to take decks in too many directions because I'm just too excited about individual cards. So I'm trying to, like, you know, not include so much discard, because if I'm doing removal plus equipment plus the Voltron idea plus the card draw plus discard, like, it's just too much. It's too scattered. You're not going to be able to reliably lean into one avenue to success. So even as I have it now, the first couple play tests will basically be just the classic, am I excited to see card X in my hand, or do I find myself using this ability more, or do I wish that I had more of whatever? And I can definitely imagine tuning down a little bit more and probably just leaning more heavily into the Voltron side, more hatred style cards, couple more equipments, and stuff like that, I think.
All right. So, yeah, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on the show today. It's been great having you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. This was good. It definitely puts you on the spot and makes you think quickly. I'm used to spending hours and hours sitting there and going through and then, you know, playing hands to myself and all that kind of stuff and seeing what the draws look like. So this was a cool challenge. I appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, no problem. Where can people find you on the internet if they're interested in either playing against you or just learning more about your mono black demon builds?
For sure. I think the best place is probably on Twitter, which is just at It's Demonic. And also on Twitch, same exact handle, at It's Demonic. I've been a little removed from the Twitch game for a little bit, but as my spare time increases here, I'm looking forward to getting back into my kind of mid-morning coffee and magic streams where we just kind of talk about deck builds, and I have so many commander decks, so just we'll dissect one and go through it and all that kind of stuff.
All right, sounds good. And for the listeners, you can find me on Twitter at MTG in Quarantine, and you can also find the back catalog of all the Lightning builds and all of my podcast episodes on Spotify, Google, Apple, Player FM, MTG Cast, and many, many other podcast outlets. So again, I want to thank you, Alex, for taking the time to be on here on the podcast with me today. It's been great having you, and you've been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.